Bless you. Good morning, everyone. It's a wonderful privilege for me to be here again, and thanks to my brother Bill for inviting me to share God's word with us today on this lovely Sunday, Palm Sunday, a very exciting time in the Christian calendar, and at the same time, quite a time of reflection as we ponder our Lord's journey onto the cross, where that greatest sacrifice was made for each and every one of us. So today what I want us to consider is the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Jesus enters into Jerusalem. Let's bow our heads in prayer. As we bow our heads in prayer and as we look into God's word, we want to give him permission to look into our hearts, to look into our lives, for us to order our steps in accordance with God's word, so that his word would bear fruit in our lives, that we would not just hear God's word, but we will be doers of God's word. We may have sat here and heard many, many, many sermons, many messages, but it's important that we respond to God's call upon our lives and that we seek to live the life that he's called us to. So we pray, good Father, that as we look into your word, grant us grace to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest your word, that we'll be active servants, faithful followers, and good disciples who bring forth fruit in our lives each day. For Christ's sake, amen. As we think about this entry, grand entrance, one might think, into Jerusalem, I wonder how many of you know that in September 2015, I think it was actually on the 23rd of September 2015, Pope Francis visited the United States. The title or the headline was, Pope Francis abandons Pope Mobile for a modest Fiat 500L. Any significance there? It says the Pope's car was without bells and whistles, but it makes SUV-obsessed American gasp. What was happening here? We expect the Pope to appear in his Pope Mobile, or maybe to appear in the Beast, all, you know, security granted. But no, he arrives in a Fiat 500L. By the way, that's one of the smallest versions of Fiat. It's almost like a Mini Minor, a Mini Cooper. What was he trying to say here? The article went, the Pope, the Pontiff, uttered no words, but the humble Fiat he chose to shuttle him from the airport into Washington told the hundreds of excited Americans waiting in the crowd everything they needed to know about Pope Francis. This, by the way, is not a message about the Pope. It is a message about making an entrance. He chose to enter and be driven through on his Fiat 500L. He was not prepared for money to be spent, a great Cadillac, mighty beast, expensive Pope Mobile, rather a humble and almost insignificant entry. But it made so much in terms of the news, in terms of headlines, about what the Pope was all about. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This, brothers and sisters, was Christ's preparation for the ultimate sacrifice. Let's never miss that point, that here he was almost on death row, preparing to die, preparing to give his life for you and for me. The Gospels describe Jesus' entry into Jerusalem for what proved to be the last time with a note of celebration. And so it is important that there is joy in our singing this morning. I'm sure there's more in the tank. We'll come to celebration in a moment. But you see, this unique event is portrayed as the fulfillment of a biblical prophecy. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. If you have your Bibles with you and you can get to Zechariah in the Old Testament, it's worth us looking at that wonderful prophecy to be able to know that this was an event that was predicted by the prophet Zechariah well before it happened. Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9 in your Bibles. I think you can find that on page 898. Easier to get to you, especially when you know the numbers. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Zechariah says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Rejoice greatly." Rejoice greatly. So clearly this is a celebration that the prophet Zechariah prophesied about, that he declared would happen. This is how you would see the King of Kings enter into Jerusalem. Lo, he comes to you triumphant and victorious. He is humble. He's riding on a donkey. The Pope chose to travel or enter the U.S. on Fiat 500L. Our Lord Jesus takes it more than a step further. He enters Jerusalem on a colt, on a donkey. Not on a war horse, as was expected. Not with chariots, but on a donkey. We're going to look at that in a moment. Now, I love taking photographs. I love taking pictures. And it's interesting to be able to know where and how you focus your lens. What exactly are you wanting to focus on? And this celebration on Palm Sunday gives you an opportunity to focus on so many things. There are four things I want to focus on with my camera on, and I'm zooming in on four areas on this Palm Sunday. So if you stay with me, let's zoom in on four areas. Let's zoom in on the colt, that's the donkey. We're going to zoom in on the celebration. We're also going to zoom in on the crowd. And last, but by no means the least, most significant, we're going to zoom in on the celebrant. Our sister here was talking about celebrating her birthday, 84. The celebrant. What a wonderful celebration that would have been, even just thanking God for the celebration, the gift of life. So the colt, the celebration, the crowd, and then the celebrant, Christ himself. Turn your Bibles again to Mark chapter 11. What are we first zooming on this morning? Wakey, wakey. You're all with me? Yes. All right, we're zooming in on the donkey. Mark chapter 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately As you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden on. Untie it and bring it. The colt was untied for service. The donkey was untied for service. It was entirely at its master's disposal. It had never been used before. And sometimes I think, what does this say about the quality that our Lord deserves, about what we offer to Him in worship, in praise, and sacrifice? The donkey had to be untied. Our Lord gives the instruction. He says, untie it and bring it here. Stop for a moment to think. What would the Palm Sunday celebration have been like if the colt, if the donkey refused to be untied, refused to move? Maybe there would have been another animal, another donkey nearby, but this donkey had to be untied for service. Church, do you begin to see where I'm going? A shackled servant is unable to serve God in its fullness. When we are chained, when we are tied, when we are imprisoned, it's impossible for us to serve God in fullness. That's why the donkey, that's why the colt had to be untied. I'm talking about things being released. I'm talking about breakthrough this morning. Amen? It may be that you're sitting here this morning and you're holding on, you are tied, you bow down with the load of care. It might be worries. Sometimes we're shackled. Sometimes we're bound. Sometimes we're held back. Because of our worries, because of our concerns. How would things work out? How would this thing be? And sometimes we're held back, we're bound by an addiction or a behavior that gets in the way of God having His will and His purpose performed and released in our lives. Just like Lazarus was bound up. In the same way, our Lord said, untie him, loose him, free him up. I think the Lord wants to free us up this morning and free many of us up. I look around and my sister Nicole was trying to get us praising God. I'll come to that. But when you think about the way that sometimes we are so cool, so held back, it's almost like there's a weight upon us. I want for you to know, believers and brethren, that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom, there's joy. The donkey had to be untied. Untie it and bring it here. We will not be ready to serve the Lord and live up to His expectation until we are free, released from whatever that binds us. So if you're bound this morning, if you're held down this morning, I want you to know that Christ, in His ministry, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Amen? He's come so that you and I would be free, that I would be held back no longer. God wants to bring freedom into our lives. Amen? Say to the person sitting next to you, be free in Jesus' name. I want to be free to serve Him. I want to be liberated to serve Him. I want to be set free. That was what the cross, the sacrifice of the cross, was all about. So that you and I would be free to serve God, free from our sins, free from the things that hold us back, free from that weight of transgression, released
to serve him. A shackled servant is unable to live up to God's expectation until we are free, until we are released, until those prison doors open, we remain bound. But there's good news. He's come to set the captives free. And so we proclaim and we declare freedom in every area of our lives. Even freedom over this church to live and operate and work in the power of God. To do God's purpose. Not to be held back in any way, shape, or form. But to be true to God, our Heavenly Father. Not to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Hear this, St. Stephen's. Stay true to God's call upon your life to fulfill his purpose in this area. The Lord Almighty is with you. Amen. Amen. Next, we zoom in on the celebration. Someone is with me. I love that. We move from the colt, from the donkey, to the celebration. Now, the celebration was beautiful. This is a wonderful act of worship. It was beautifully staged, managed. There were cloaks on the dusty ground, not on a red carpet, by the way. And you know sometimes why they say some of us find it so difficult to kneel down and bow down and worship God, to prostrate, to lay down before him? It's because our suits are so expensive. Our dresses are so expensive. The tights, you know, the dress. No, you don't want to get them dirty. No. Dust it off. But hey, look, this is wonderful celebration. There were cloaks on the dusty ground, not on a red carpet, by the way. Palm trees strategically placed. What an act of adoration, of true worship. This is expressive. It is sincere. It is timely. Worship is hard work, by the way. It costs. It costs you something to raise your hand and praise God. It costs you something to spin around in joy and gratitude. It doesn't sometimes come voluntarily or easily. For some people it does. But for others, it has to take an effort. And the Spirit of God enables us to be able to do that, because by ourselves we can't. Especially if you've had a very hard week. There's not energy in the tank, but as we depend on God and as we pray and ask him for his Holy Spirit to come in and take control, like that song now says, come now, Holy Spirit, and take control. He causes us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship, by the way, is an expression in Hebrew which involves shouting. It involves spinning. Sometimes we only have one word for worship. When we say, now let's stand and let's worship God, it's like, let's sing a song. That's only, how many drivers are here? Yes, I see a few drivers. Could you imagine just driving in first gear? All the way, you're just in first gear. Yes? No! What do? You move through the gears. Now I'm thinking manually, but even in the automatic, you know, mode, you're still moving through the gears. In worship, brethren, let's learn to move through the gears. Amen? Amen? Say to someone, move through the gears. Don't get stuck on first gear. You see, I see sometimes singing is first gear. When you begin to raise your hand, you're moving through the gears. When you begin to spin around, you're moving through the gears. When you begin to shout out aloud, you're moving through the gears. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't get stuck in first gear. Palm Sunday, just see how they worshipped. They were throwing cloaks around. They were raising hands. Hallelujah. Hosanna. They were shouting. They were spinning around. It may not come to you naturally. Yes, I know. But hey, we're not talking about doing things naturally. It may not be in your DNA, but yeah, I'm not talking about doing things in your DNA. We're talking about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And worship is not just about singing. Sometimes there's a place for the quiet contemplation, the quiet reflection. But other times, there's a place to shout, to spin, to sing. Proskuneo, a lovely word that says to draw near, to kiss, to prostrate, to bow down, to kneel, to bless. That's worship, moving through the gears. So if you are minded to be stuck on just singing, remind yourself that there's much more to worship. And guess what? It is expressive celebration. Expressive celebration. And so I love the song that we did earlier when Penny was leading us and we were, you know, doing all the actions. That's more than your activity for, you know, for the day. If you're talking about five a day, okay, you've already been to the gym, and for some of us we find it very difficult to exercise. That's another wonderful opportunity for us to be free in worship, to exercise, to, you know, let go, to be untied, to be released for service. Amen. The colt was untied for service. The celebration was beautifully stage managed. Very expressive celebration. And the third area that I'm zooming in on is, you need to get a prize. The crowd. I'll move through this very briefly. May was leading us very, very lovely. She was saying, what do we know about Hosanna? A lovely Hebrew word which mixes exuberant praise, by the way, to God with a prayer that God will save his people. A combination of worship, praise, and prayer. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. In Hebrew and Aramaic, it is another word to say welcome. Welcome. The crowd was expressive. This is revelation combined with sincere emotion. Perfect combination for worship, by the way, when there's a revelation. And then there's the emotion as well. There's all of me coming into this. Mark does not say here in the reading, but Luke, which also the other gospel writer, who gives a very clear presentation of Palm Sunday and our Lord entering into Jerusalem. Luke says, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully for all the miracles they had seen. They remembered, and so they praised God. When I remember what the Lord has done, when I think about what God has done for me, I sing out in praise. Amen. The songwriter says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Great is God's goodness and his faithfulness and his mercy. And if we have we don't have any reason to stand up and give a testimony, we can at least be thankful for the breath that we breathe, for the life that we celebrate. Living to see another day is enough to say, Lord, I thank you. There are many who would have wanted to worship and bless God and be with us here on this Palm Sunday, but they're not here. When I remember what the Lord has done, I give him praise. The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. But there's a warning here from the crowd. We saw in our confession that the crowd was saying on Palm Sunday, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There was worship. It was wonderful. It was exuberant. Deep from within. And yet on Friday, they were shouting, crucify him. Crowds are fickle. They move just like that. You only need to go to the Emirates Stadium. That's the only stadium I know, by the way. That's why I'm talking about the Emirates. No offense to Liverpool and Chelsea fans. But you only need to go to a stadium and see how crowds change. One minute they're supporting their striker. Another minute they are saying such obscene and using such obscene language. Crowds are fickle. Let's be aware and not take our reference from the crowd. I pray God gives us grace to stand out alone. To stand out apart from the crowd. Sometimes it's lovely to be in the crowd. You get the support. You're together. You're all moving in the same direction. A lovely feeling. But there are times in our Christian lives when we're going to need to stand out from the crowd. Apart from the crowd. And not take our reference from the crowd. This crowd on Palm Sunday was shouting Hosanna. And yet, in the same breath, Good Friday, they were saying, crucify him. The contradictions in our lives. How one day we're praising God, another time we're cursing him. One day we're standing up for Jesus, another time we are denying him. I pray God that we are consistent in our lives. My time is almost coming to a close. I was given a specific time guideline, and I want to honor the frame. Yeah? Oh, I love it when the boss says, go on. Now, finally, we are zooming in on the celebrant. The celebrant. This was all about Christ. Amen? It was all about Jesus. Now, this is one occasion when Christ did not flinch from the limelight or be the center of attraction. He thoroughly enjoyed it. It was for him, and he was like, I'm going to have it all. So when they were saying, hey, there's too much noise around here. Tell this, turn down the volume. You know times in your life when you want to worship God, when you just want to go for it? And someone standing or sitting next to you is just, what are you on about? It's like, turn it down. Hey, sometimes we need to be able to tell sister, brother, you know what? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ didn't go with the crowd or with the disciples or with the Pharisees who were saying, turn this down. No. He says, if they don't cry out, the stones will cry out. He did not flinch. He thoroughly enjoyed this worship. Why shouldn't he? You see, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. He dwells among, he pitches his tent, he makes his abode in the praises of his people. As the praise goes up, the blessings, the presence of God comes down. He dwells amongst us. He inhabits our praises. That's why the Bible says the 24 elders, day and night, what are they doing? They're praising God. Heaven, endless praise. So talking about, you know, all night prayer. When I think of our heaven, I think about all night praise. Praise right through the day. Praise right round the clock. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. In Luke 19, the embarrassed and jealous Pharisees wanted to extinguish the flames of this intense worship. But you know, the triumphal entry was a declaration of kingship. It was a declaration that Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He comes on a donkey. He comes on a colt. He comes on a very humble animal. But he comes as King, as the one who saves, as the one who deserves all glory, as the one who deserves our praise. So as I close, let me leave with you three things that I think Palm Sunday means for us and causes us to think about. What does all of this mean for us today? Bill was so spot on when we were praying earlier. It was as if he had, you know, taken this script. He was talking about three things that Palm Sunday means for us, and this was so spot on. The first is to welcome the King. The second is to worship the King. And the third is for us to witness for the King. Or the phrase Bill used was, as warriors for the King. To welcome the King. To welcome him into our lives.
To be able to say, Lord, come your kingdom. Be done your will in my life, in this vessel. Take control. To be able to worship the King, to be able to bow the knee, to be able to be expressive, free to serve Him, free to worship Him, free to live out a life that is in praise and glory to His name. And then to be able to witness for the King, to be able to tell others, not just to know the King, not just to worship the King, not just to welcome the King, but to witness for the King, to be able to tell others that the King is here. And He wants to have full control and lead us in ways that would please our Heavenly Father. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. God bless you and have a wonderful Palm Sunday. Amen.